Welcome to the DDT Archives. I'm your host, Chris. Without my co-host and tag team partner in podcasting, everybody's best friend, Greg, is not here. He is on paternity leave. Not maternity. He is not the mother. Apparently, that is a thing. Didn't know, or at least I'm going to pretend I didn't know when I sent out that tweet the other day. So sorry, buddy. But with me today in the global indie lounge is our good friend coming to us by way of Madrid, Faith Hayden. How are you?
I'm really fine, and it's actually Hayden.
It is, so I was right. Watching your matches, they butcher it, and then I listen to them. That's my fault.
No, it's okay. You know, so many people here in Spain, you know, my last name, they don't pronounce it, you know, correctly and so. But, you know, it's fine. You know, Hayden, whatever you want to call it. It's perfectly fine. So it's
no,
good.
I should get it right.
No, man, it's fine. It's fine.
So how's everything going?
It's actually going well. You know, this pandemic is depressing me, but you know, I'm looking always to the right side, you know. While this all is over, you know, I'm gonna keep working so freaking hard to get it where I want to be, you know. I'm never gonna stop. So this is the importance. Also, your podcast, as the one I had the last week, you know, are giving me hope to work harder, you know. It's thank you so much.
Oh, it's absolutely our pleasure. We've been trying to take this global for a while. We did actually have some UK interviews scheduled, but then the speaking out movement came and we had to cancel some of those interviews. So now we're going international. And not only that, we're expanding our women's wrestling audience, which for guys that listen to podcasts in their parents' basement, this is very appealing to them. Not unlike the people you've been tweeting about. All afternoon for you, morning for me. I've been literally rolling on the floor laughing at your tweets.
Oh man, you know, I want to be like this kind of funny but at the same time really serious person, you know, but because it's my Twitter, you know, I can tweet whatever I want because I don't belong to any brand, so it's just me, myself being me.
it is quite amusing. I unfortunately have to watch what I tweet because my day job is a teacher, so therefore I really need to kind of make sure I don't.
Man.
Well, they haven't found this yet. Like, my students have no clue I do this, and I'm hoping to keep it that way, but you never know, so I have to be careful what I put out there.
Of course.
So the first thing that jumps out to me, and while nobody else gets the video part of this podcast, they only get the audio. The Japanese characters hanging over your doorway. Explain to us the importance of Japanese wrestling.
What do you mean that?
Yep.
Oh, that's not Japanese. That's Chinese.
Man, I am off today.
No, it's okay because, you know, part of my family is Chinese. And so sometimes I have to have, you know, some things of me and around me. You know, also you can see I am a super geek. You know, I can show you my PS3, my PS4, all my games, my Funkos. You know, it's me. But, you know, that Chinese, and it says, stay strong. You know, I had my, you know, that thing is there for years, you know, before I came into the pro wrestling thing. It is handy in there for a long, 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 really long time.
Well, it's awesome. And, you know, I wouldn't know the characters because I never learned Japanese or Chinese, which is the truth of all foreign languages. So when I told my wife I was interviewing you, and she goes, well, I hope she doesn't expect you to speak any Spanish because you're terrible.
And oh, please, so speak Spanish.
I don't speak
please.
I don't speak any. So I took Italian in school, and I didn't take it very seriously. So I know nothing.
But you can learn this. Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Well, that I can do. Hola, ¿cómo está? I know.
Perfect.
My students will say it. The funny thing is, half my students actually think I speak and understand Spanish because I listen to tone.
Oh, man.
So
okay.
when their tone is off, I'm like, really, you're going to do that? And they're like, oh, when did you learn Spanish? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't. So I just pretend. But yeah, no, I want to say right when my wife and I got engaged, we went to the Dominican Republic for my cousin's wedding. And mm-hmm. I tried to be polite in Spanish and learn like good morning, good afternoon, good night. And I confused them all. And finally, the nice man said to me, sir, I speak enough English and your Spanish is terrible. And I was like, well, I'm not going to learn ever now. Thank you, sir. And I just put my
Thank
head
you,
down.
Thank you, sir, for letting me down.
Yeah. I put my head down in shame and I just went about my day.
You know, that's really awful because, you know, when somebody that doesn't speak Spanish and come here to Spain or I am everywhere and they are trying, you know, little steps to trying to speak Spanish. And so, you know, for whatever mistake they do or, you know, whatever thing they say bad or, you know, mistaking some little words, you know, instead of bashing them or, you know, like, ah, ha, ha, you speak really often, you know, I just help them, you know, to speak better, to understand better. You know, I'm this kind of person that always prize the people for trying that, you know, putting them down. You know, it's I don't know why people, you know, do that to you and so, but I will be really proud if you, you know, try and speak Spanish.
Well, I will work on it for the next time we talk. I will have like 7 words down.
Por favor.
So let's talk a little bit of wrestling.
All right.
Obviously, as an American, when I think European wrestling, I think Germany and the UK.
Of
how
course.
How is the scene in Spain and how is it different from those countries?
Actually, the scene in Spain is really little. You know, a couple years back, the only scene in Spain was in Madrid and Barcelona, because these two cities had the only two schools in the whole country. These people started like 10 years ago doing free shows. They're still doing. And they had these little academies of pro wrestling, and you know they try to learn by watching wrestling and practicing wrestling in these academies. Some of them have been, you know, wrestling for 10 years, you know, not like a full professional, you know, character and aspect, trying to entertain people. They usually, last year, you know, before this whole pandemic, they've been doing the shows and for free. and, you know, actually last year, so many little schools started to come in like a pop, 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 you know, everywhere. You know, in Barcelona right now there are two. Here in Madrid is one, you know, the biggest. And also there was another, but they had to close. Now in Calpe and Gibraltar and so many others, you know, they started many academies and, you know, promotions. But yeah, you know, the biggest in Spain, we don't have big scene, but, you know, like I was this crazy lady, you know, trying to be a professional wrestler, you know, when I saw the opportunity, because I thought I could become a pro wrestler here and, you know, and evolve and, you know, keep growing and so, and, you know, being part here and everywhere in the world, but it's lies.
No, it's not. It's not a lie. You are getting out there. So
But because I'm working to get out, you know, I work it super hard to go first to Germany and then to the UK to train, so, because I didn't have any chance here, you know, except for one promotion, which is RCW. There's nothing for me here.
Which did you prefer, Germany or the UK?
it's a little bit hard because I do like Germany scene because they are super hard to please. So you have to work a little bit harder. And, you know, in Germany, they have already a few legends of the European pro wrestling, you know, scene and so. But also in the UK, they have these legendary people that you can meet and, you know, work with. And eventually in one school of pro wrestling, you can meet all the superstars of the NXT UK because they started there. So, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I don't have any favoritism for any country. So I like both. In Germany, of course, I had a little bit of an issue, but I like both.
Germany is actually the only European country I've been to.
What?
In fairness, I went for free and actually got paid to go there. So I was coaching football. So I had the opportunity to go to Germany and coach on a U.S. Army base
out there. Wow!
So not only did I get to go, I traveled with military papers, so no one bothered me in any airports. And the French people were scared of those papers. It was kind of amusing because I don't like France. Like every other American, I don't like France. They were very rude until they saw those papers. And then apparently they're magic. But no, Germany is a beautiful country. But if people are speaking German, they could be telling you that they love you, but they sound so angry doing it.
Actually, I have to differ in that, that theme, because for example, Francis Caspiani, later on I will send you the name of this guy, because this guy speaks the most sweet German. You know, he's super cute, he's super talented, he's super awesome coach, he's the sweetest guy in the world, but you know, when he speaks German, you know, it's like a super cute, you know, even he's mad, or, you know, like a little bit aggressive, you can take it that like, oh no, he's mad, cute.
Yeah, maybe it was just being around loud football coaches, but I was like, whoa, that's some angry.
Of course, kids. You know, in football you have to squash the other, you know, like, oh.
Not unlike pro wrestling.
No.
So talk to our audience about some of your travels outside of Europe.
My travels outside Europe were a little bit, unbelievable for me, because, me starting here in Spain, with zero people, only two or three fans, and then being able to go to Japan, you know, it was a freaking dream. This whole life, people, you know, city, culture, and everything was really mind blowing, because you geeky person. I am. I watch TV shows, soap operas, and about Japanese people and other stuff. But then when you meet the reality in there, it's like a super huge, because it's totally different. You know, what you expect of Japanese people being respectful and quiet and so, you know, you realize that that people is beyond that, you know, like a super, everything is really, really cool about them, you know, like the way they treat you, the way they act in public, around the city, in the malls and so. Except for one guy this guy was super wasted, you know, was like freaking wasted. Like, you know, the way wasted that he thinks he's a Spider-Man. So that way, you know, he was in the train, you know, okay, we were going, I was going to Harajuku, and this guy was drunk as frog, and he was like, handing in this bar, okay, in the train, and he was like, "Tango in this," and you know, everybody was in their phones, and I was like, "What are he doing?" And everybody, I remember an old lady telling me in Japanese, "Don't mind him, he's drunk." But all the time, they never touch you and they never talk to you, because when there's some kind of confrontation in Japan, you know, they mind their own business, because if you try to do something, it's like a two and this person making the fight. So people is like, this is not well behaved. So they just walk away. So this lady was like, don't worry, Gijin, Bakagijin, we got you.
That's just a normal Tuesday on the train system in New York.
Oh, man. You know, yeah. I will be like, fight me.
Yeah, you don't make eye contact in trains in New York. Because what? Somebody's going to want you to pay the money to do something. Yeah, it's creepy.
Wow.
Yeah. Especially if they're dancing. Don't clap mm-hmm. along. Don't get excited. Just put your head down. Otherwise, they're going to ask for tips.
Oh, oof. No money. Yeah. I would rather to spend my money in Broadway or my own food. No, these people like, I'm going to give you a tip. Go get it.
That and if somebody's handing you a free CD, it's not for free.
$5. Yeah. Give it.
Exactly. Now, did you stay in a dojo when you were in Japan?
Yes, I stayed in the Marvelous Dojo. These people is amazing, you know. They treat you like you know, when you are like a good person, and you know, you are not like a freaking asshole like my other Spanish pal would have went there. You know, these people treat you really well, you know. These people, like, you know, when you expect to meet like good, lawful people, like, you know, well, you know, good hearts, you know, good people, like, you know, that people you met and you will immediately say, this person is probably a good one. And then when you meet them and, you know, you bond with them, you only can be 100% sure that the first time you thought that is actually true. So I stay in the dojo. I was taking care of one of the dogs. And, you know, it was the first day, like, super disorientated because I was freaking out because they had this huge, you know, ring in the dojo. And, you know, I was like, I want to try it. And then after a couple hours later, you know, like, I have this insomnia thing. I can never sleep. And Nagayo-san came to the house and I was like, holy shit, that's Nagayo Chigusa. And I was like, behave. And internally, I was like, and I was like, hi, yes, I'm this person from Spain. And she said, oh, okay. She was super, super, super heartwarming. And, you know, it's like a freaking dream, like, oh, becoming everything true.
Now, one of our friends is actually over in the Marvelous Dojo now. She's been there for quite a while.
Yes, because the pandemic, I'm super jealous.
Yep. So you know exactly who I'm talking about, my friend Masha.
Yes, of course I know her. You know, it was supposed of me to meet her, but this whole thing came and I was like...
She is quite awesome. We had a lot of fun talking to her probably about a month and a half ago, and her and I probably stay in touch 3 or 4 times a week at this point. You know, us New Yorkers stick together. So, you know, and I may or may not have gotten your name from her Twitter, you know, because I, you know, that's how you do things in the podcasting world. You find people on Twitter, you do research, and then you say, hey, want to be on my podcast?
You know, I will be, you know, I have to now to give some sweets from Spain to Masha, you know, it's like my brief to her, like, you give my name. Here.
She didn't realize she gave me your name, but she did. And then afterwards, when I told her, she was very excited for us to talk to you. And unfortunately, obviously, Greg's not here, but he's jealous. And now I can continue the running joke that Greg is scared of strong women.
Okay, I can believe that. Yes, of course, I can believe that.
See, another person that finds it funny. We've only had one guest that didn't like us. And it's
why?
Because I teased Greg about that. And she thought I was bullying him. He's been my best friend for 34 years. Just think about that. We've been best friends for 34 years.
Everything's but the thing is, like, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, for example, if my friend is doing a podcast and he invites you, you know, of course we are going to have this thing about I'm gonna poke you, I'm gonna try to make you like because we're friends, you know, we know each other, we work together, you know, it's like it's an interview, come on.
It's exactly, but yeah, she went back and told one of our mutual friends that I was a complete asshole. And
what?
I was like, while that is 100% true, it had nothing to do with the podcast.
Man, you know, you're really cool. You know, it's like you know, it's bad for her. You know, that precocity. No, you're really nice. You're really nice.
I appreciate that. I try to be. I try to be. But deep down, I am a New Yorker, so deep down, I am an asshole. But if you're nice to me, I am really good to those people forever.
But, you know, you have to be like this strong people because you are, of course, you're in New York, you know, like you walk a little bit slow. People is going to, instead of say, okay, can I walk by? And they are going to be like, move.
100%. 100%. That is the most accurate description of us. you know, it's funny because while Europeans get to travel to other European countries, in the States, you just travel to other states.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go down south, everybody is super friendly. And coming from New York, I'm not that guy. If I don't know you, if I don't initiate conversation, I'm not trying to talk. So my wife and I went on vacation to South Carolina, and every person there, like I had it tattooed on my forehead to talk to me. I'm like, stop having conversation. I don't like people. And they just wouldn't stop. It was awful.
You know,
I'll never go back.
Have you ever seen these lead t-shirts that, you know, you can write something and then, you know, slowly they're going to show up here like, don't talk to me, you know?
I feel like it encourages people to talk to me, though. Because, like, I look at it how I would look at it. If your shirt says, don't talk to me, I'm going to be like, yo, what up? Just because. Like, if you're telling me not to do something, challenge it.
I'm going to do it. It's like, don't press the red button. What? Which?
So, is it true that the Marvelous Dojo has, like, 800 dogs?
Okay, 800, no. They have 100,000. they have several dogs because they rescue a lot of puppies. You know, they are this kind of people that, you know, always are trying to help, and, you know, they are always working so hard to make things right that they have this huge heart. So whenever they see a puppy in trouble, or, you know, or some, you know, what is the name? Joder, ¿cuál es el nombre? You know, a bunch of puppy, you know, abandoned and so.
A litter?
Yeah, it's like a litter, you know, it's, you know, they bring them to the home, they take care of the puppy, okay? Or the puppies.
Yep.
And then, you know, they find homes for each dog. But, you know, sometimes the girls, like, fall in love with this dog and, you know, they have the space and, you know, they schedule every people like, okay, you can take of this and you want of this and that. And, you know, they always are, besides working for this puppy, they rescue, they find homes for others. They do this charity for dogs. Yeah, they used to do the charity every single, like, once per month or once 2 months or, you know, they always collect money for help puppies and people. So, you know, these people never stopped working. It's really, really awesome because I was part of two charity, you know, events, and they were like a supercell, you know. They came people that had Akita Inus, Shiba Inus, rescue dogs, and, you know, selling all the products. And every single, you know, yen they had, they bring to association or, you know, to the leaders that were more needed.
That's awesome. I like the Marvelous Dojo even more now. I'm definitely...
Yeah, you know, this people is like freaking amazing, you know. You know, people know Stardom more. They know, you know, so many other promotion more, but they don't pay much attention on Marvelous, when Marvelous is like freaking huge goodwill of everything, you know, because they do a lot of freaking work for everyone, you know, not for only the wrestlers. And, you know, Nagayo-san always worked to make people better, to make wrestlers better, but to help people. So it's everything.
As a dog guy, and I am very much a dog guy, as my bulldog sleeps in the background snoring. that's what he does best. He snores. But he's my best buddy in the world. So anybody that takes care of dogs, I'm all for. And I know your dog is very cute. I see it on Twitter all the time.
What is she? There you go. Yeah. There is she.
Hold on. Mine is hidden in the couch. Can you see him?
It's camouflage. Yeah,
exactly. My wife wouldn't let me name him Dynamite, so his middle name is Dynamite.
Dynamite is better.
I agree. Well, his name is Megalodon Dynamite, so it really is a pretty good name either way. But
in Spain, Cosima has her name. Okay, it's Cosima, but I call her Señora, like lady or ma'am. So many times, Cosima used to walk without a leash, so she was pretty. But when we were in the park, she goes free. So in the grass, you know, in the yard, she goes wide, running. So when I see another puppy that I don't like, how the guys handle the dog, or you know, the dog is a little bit like too tense or so, Cosima sees the dog and say, "Hey, that's another friend." But you know, I'm like, "No, Cosima, come here, Cosima, come here," and you can see me running after my dog, saying, "Señora, no."
Yeah, Mega doesn't run very far. He is the perfect dog for me. He is nice and lazy, and he'll sleep lazy all day if I let him, you know. But he's awesome. My life is so much better with him, you know. I'm always convinced. Married my wife because we had the dog. That and she put up with me. Let's talk a little bit more about your dojo experience. What's the best food in the dojo? And let's see if you have the same answer as Masha.
I can reply to that.
Okay.
She
is a huge fan of Shanko.
You know, it's super hard for me because, I love Japanese food and Chinese food and Korean. And every time any of the girls, you know, cook, and so I was so hyped and, you know, emotional about, you know, they cooking for me. I was like, holy shit, this is too good. Holy shit, this is too good. Holy shit, this is too good. What is this? Holy shit, this is too good.
That's awesome. I wish people would make me food. life would be so much better with that. I get to be the cook in the household.
Oh.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah, the Italian descent, I can cook, and my wife takes advantage of it.
No. That's, you know, if we ever met, I will cook a tortilla de patatas, and I will give it to you.
I appreciate that. I will book my trip to Madrid just for that right now. So let's segue off wrestling for a little bit. Let's talk about your video games first off. When did you start playing video games?
When I was little, besides watching pro wrestling with my brother and with my grandfather, video games with my father, actually, you know, he used to play Mortal Kombat in the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
My brother and my father were playing all the time, and you know, I was like, I want to play too. So that's when I started my super, like, I want to play games. And you know, when I started working, my best friend gave me my, you know, it was a gift for my birthday, so she gave me my first PS3. And one of the first game I played was because I was obsessed with Grand Theft Auto. You know, GTA. Since GTA, I couldn't stop. You know, it was more games where I can shoot people. In video games, of course, in video games.
Yeah, I got that. Everybody knows that you're not going to actually shoot someone. You're just going to drop kick them.
Of course. Probably super foreign. You know, I'm going to do a slingshot and probably smash them in the fucking faces.
So, you know, I joke with my wife all the time that she's lucky I found this wrestling passion late in life and not before I met her, because I feel like everybody plays video games in the wrestling community, and I grew up playing games. I play my PS4 all the time. And she makes fun of me, and I'm like, no, I'm accepted in this community because I play video games. You leave me alone.
You know, mostly, I think mostly of every wrestler, you know, playing video games, not so many, because I have met a lot of wrestlers that doesn't like video games or movies. Movies, you know, who doesn't like a freaking movie? But, but you know, I met many, many people that doesn't like video games and so. But the ones that play is because they had this, you know, comic passion and you know, video game childhood. That, you know, besides something was difficult with your life or your childhood, you know, you always recruit yourself to play in a video game you can control. So it's just like that, or maybe just in myself, you know, I used to go for it because it's like a, you know, isolate yourself from the whole thing of, you know, fights, bad things and so, and just focus on this video game, because this video game has besides the open map and the open world, you know, you have this mission that you have to commit it, and then you like in Grand Theft GTA 5 you can rob a bank.
Well, you know, life goals. I don't think I've played the Grand Theft Auto series since 3. I think I played it on PS2 a lot, and then I just felt like I was becoming a bad person because I was enjoying it too much.
why
you because know, you know, I couldn't wrap my head around why I was having so much fun throwing people off roofs and shooting people. So I just kind of I've learned to stick to sports games and wrestling games now. UFC, like I even got golf, and the only thing I'm worse than in real golf is pretend golf. that and skateboard. I saw the Tony Hawk game is coming out. I saw you were a little upset.
Dude, you know, I'm super upset because I can't buy that game, because it's or I buy food and pay my bills, or I buy the game and die poor. So it's like a life option, like a householding and bills is more important than the game. But you know, Tony Hawk 2 was my favorite game, you know, because they had this besides the LA, you know, open world, and you know, this whole I have to stop. No, but you know, it's my favorite game. So when they told that they were like producing this Tony Hawk 1 and 2 just from like nothing, it's like, oh, guys, yeah, we're remastering the Tony Hawk 1 and 2, so if you want to buy it, I was like, no.
That so, is funny.
It's funny, but it also hurts. It's like, why are you doing this to my feels?
I mean, I'm sure if you put, like, an Amazon wish list out there, there's some guy in his parents' basement that's going to buy you the video game.
Give me a second. Hi, guy. If you are in your basement, please, if you want to be like really nice and, you know, supportive of me, and, you know, like you like me because I like you too, you know, we're buddies. So, please, I want to play this new Tony Hawk game. So, help.
I will make sure that Greg puts that in when we release it to buy you. Somebody, one of our fans needs to buy you the video game.
Please.
Just, you know, if it comes from a guy named RJ, send it back. No, I'm kidding, RJ. You're a good guy. No matter what I say about you to everyone.
You know, we're friends in this business, you know. Some people can come a little bit hard, but you know, at the end, everybody is, except for the guy who tried to kidnap Sonya Deville, that fucking guy is shit, okay? That he should rot in hell. But besides that thing, and the fat guy that was 25 minutes of ranting shit. Besides that, those two, okay, everybody's really nice.
Wait, you actually watched the full video of that guy? You're talking about the guy from the clip, right? That you tweeted before?
No, actually, I watched the whole thing only to report to YouTube. You know, I that was my duty as a woman, as a pro wrestler, and as a fan of so many things that, you know, to report that fucking asshole. Because if I don't have the content and I don't have the clips of, you know, the parts of hateful speech, man, you know, I can report something like that with content. You know, I use it to watch every single of this kind of videos, because I have to have the whole information. You know, I can accuse somebody like, because he said this, but what is before this? You know, I have to have the whole thing.
Exactly. I am right there with you with having to have the full picture of things, which I feel like in today's society is getting less and less, especially here in the States.
Yeah, because, wow, you know, actually, I was, you know, when I tweeted this person, I was about to say something really awful, but I'm not that kind of people, okay? You know, when I watched this, I was like, wait, what the hell is this, you know? And I started to, you know, to open the thread, and, you know, I found this 25 minutes, and was like, no freaking way. And after that, I had to learn Chinese. I had to go back to my Chinese and Japanese lesson because I was like, stop thinking in that.
Well, I didn't get those lessons, so I can tell you my thoughts. So first off, that dude never had a bisexual girlfriend. No shot. No way. Nope. Not to mention, he's a virgin. Without a doubt. He lives in his parents' basement. He's never seen a girl in person yet. No.
You know, this guy is a freaking insult, okay? This is an insult because you can do something like that besides being so, like, in this little bubble of you of not experiencing anything in your life. So you have to do this because so many women have rejected you, and he has to explode in this hateful speech because he doesn't have anything else. Because, I can picture it, like, he going like this and going, hey, you want a shot? And they're like, ew.
In some ways, you have to feel terrible for what that person actually must deal with to have that much hate.
Actually, no. You know, I don't feel any sad feeling or, you know, I don't feel like, I feel sorry for him. No. Not at all, because, you know, we are in 2020, okay? You know, this guy has family, this guy probably has some friends, and if you don't, you look for help, you know, you look for somebody to talk to, or, you know, at least your parents, you know? It's like trying to do some connection and, you know, express yourself like a human being, not like a fucking monster, like being, you know, poking the woman like, me like you, come here. Like, no, it's not like that.
No, that's not what I meant when I said you have to feel like it's to for someone to be that disgusting of a person. They weren't raised properly. They weren't. There's no way anyone that came from a loving household ever turns out like that guy.
Okay, I have to say something. Okay, I didn't came from a loving household and anything, but I'm not like stupid.
Well, yes, 100%. I agree with that piece of it, but I'm just I try not to be as terrible of a human being as I am and judge everybody. But I mean, he is pretty judgeable. Yep, he's a horrible human being.
Yeah, he's a horrible human being for, you know, like so many things he has in her life that you know, the only way he has to spread himself and so is that way. It's like something is really bad with him. But, you know, after this, you know, probably he has done this for attention, you know, because you don't know how many kids had done horrible things only to get his 5 minutes of glory. So probably he's doing that for that, or maybe he's a freaking asshole, or, you know, maybe, you know, you don't know actually how this guy has reached the point. So it's for fame or for being a disgusting person, or, you know, it's like a little bit mix of both.
Well, he's gotten way too much attention, so we're going to move off of him now. So the movie posters. So you are clearly a DC woman.
Yes, I'm really proud of every single, you know, even Green Lantern. I love Green Lantern, okay? Hate me for liking Green Lantern. Hal Jordan and Ryan Reynolds are one together. You know, the only Green Lantern existing in this world is Armie Hammer. But Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool and also Green Lantern. And Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot.
My toys are in my podcasting room, but I can't podcast from there. I have to put carpet in there, and I'm being really lazy about doing it because I don't want to do it myself. I bought all the toys for the room, and it's fantastic, but I can't record from there. I have to just record across the way from my bar in my basement that I paid for.
Because you're a grown-up, man.
I pretend to be a grown-up.
Hey, you have your house.
I have a house, I have a mortgage, I have a wife, I have a dog, but I'm still not a
grown-up. That's life.
I'm still not a grown-up.
I understand you.
Yeah, no, I want to avoid growing up as much as humanly possible. So, personally, like, we've talked to a lot of people that are big Marvel people, and I am not. I always preferred Batman over everything. Just growing up, like, never really got big into Superman, but I thought the Batman story was, I found the original movies to be a little corny. The Christopher Reeve movies? Come on.
Yes.
No, they're a little cheesy. And I'm being judged by my...
We're going to end this interview right now.
We're having our first fight.
No, you know, I grew up with Superman and Green Lantern and the whole DC superheroes. So when my grandfather showed me this Superman first with Christopher Reeves, I was like super excited because one man looked like exactly like in the comic books, you know, not the first Superman that was in the TV show or the movie that in black and white. So Christopher Reeves was one of the most like a Superman thing, you know, he was really committed to the comic books, because if you have read one of the first comic books of Superman, you know, you can see actually Christopher Reeves in it. So I was like, and also because I identify with the Kal-El, you know, story, like a guy from outside of this world coming in this country that he doesn't comprehend, and, you know, he doesn't understand the people, he doesn't understand why he's being hated, and he doesn't understand why the things, you know, humans do these horrible things when, you know, he in just one moment of explosion could, you know, cut the world in two. So, you know, that's why I like it, Superman, because instead of being bad, he decided to do good. You know, it's like, you know, he's so powerful that he concentrate all his thoughts of being like, I want to make this guy pay. So he doesn't. He just worked to make everything better. So he ignores these hateful feelings. So everything goes like, I'm going to help instead of destroy.
Okay. Maybe you've sold me a little bit more on Superman. But I am definitely more of a Batman person. So
you're like, I'm the knight.
Yeah, well, first off, it takes place in Gotham City, and where I live outside of Gotham City. So, I mean, that's first and foremost. You know, I just, the suit and everything kind of, like, the idea of wearing a mask and hiding yourself sometimes, you know, that kind of resonated with me. And then watching the Christopher Nolan movies, you know, Batman Begins, I didn't like it initially, and then it became one of my favorite movies as I watched it over and over and over again, because I didn't grow up reading comic books. So I played three sports from the time I was seven. So if I wasn't playing with some sort of baseball, football, or basketball, or trying to wrestle my little brother, it wasn't happening. Ironically, my little brother became a professional wrestler, and I just became a football coach who has a podcast. But in that way, I didn't dislike comic books. I could get a comic book or I could get baseball or football cards, and I wanted the cards. Now I didn't collect Marvel cards when that was a thing too. I wonder if I have those somewhere. I don't know. They got to be somewhere. Probably at my parents' house in a box that I said was my brother's.
You know, I remember those cards because when I was little, my brother used to collect them like crazy. So he has this huge album of Marvel figures and so. And that's why, beside me growing with DC and me being a super fan of, you know, Batman and Superman, first Superman, I discovered Ms. Marvel, and I discovered Gambit, I discovered, you know, Wolverine, the X-Men, and, you know, but before reading comic books, because they had in the cards behind the description of them and a little bit of the bio. Yep. So I was like, I was excited because my brother used to yell at me because, "Don't touch my cards!" And I was like...
We have very similar personalities in that way. Again, you tell me not to do it, I'm probably going to. Like, my wife told me I couldn't buy a fanny pack, so what did I do? I went and bought a fanny pack. And then I bought one for her father, too.
But was she, you know, okay, probably I am in the side of her. Like, I don't understand why people now buy fanny packs, because back in a few years, it was like, oh no, you're a hippie wearing a fanny pack. And now everyone's like, this is fashion.
You know why? Because I can. That's why. It's not for any other reason other than I can. Like, it's, you know, so I don't know if you've looked at my Twitter stream at all, but I want to say probably about 2 months ago, my weight was all the way up to 330 pounds, and there was no way a fanny pack was going to fit. And then one of the guys we interviewed turned into my motivation. Like we talked and talked outside of it. And he's like, dude, start working out again. Cause I used to, and then I just ran. When I was coaching college football, my life was a living hell, and if I had 5 hours to sleep, I was thrilled. So that didn't help me in that regard. But once I started working out, I've already dropped almost 40 pounds. So now a fanny pack fits. So to me, it's the ability to wear that fanny pack is why I bought it.
Hey, you know, whatever is making you feel better and so, you know, and, you know, these are cheats to, you know, being able to wear your fanny pack is like a huge deal. You know, it's like a, holy shit, I'm proud of you.
Well, I got another 90 to go, so don't be proud of me yet.
But you know, it's like being proud of, you know, the little steps until you achieve the huge goal. So it's like freaking yay.
Oh, 100%. It was weird. Last night, I was sitting with my wife and I'm just like, I'm going to go put the treadmill on the highest setting in terms of incline and just go walk and watch wrestling for an hour and a half. She's like, there's no fucking way you do that. And I came up an hour and a half later with the picture from the treadmill. And I'm like, I did. I'm like, you want to wring out my shirt for me? She was like, no, that's disgusting. I'm like, you're supposed to be supportive. She's like, it's I am, but I'm not touching that.
It's like, do you really want it? No, I don't want it. Yeah, of course you do.
No, I also don't want to be dead. You don't do that to a woman that grew up in Queens. No.
Yeah, you're right. No.
Would be slit when I slept. Oh, she is the best thing that ever happened to me. If you listen to this, sweetheart, she won't. No shot she will. She has not listened to any of our other 50 episodes that we've dropped in the last 5 months.
You know, but that's really cute, you know, because you're happy in your, you know, with your wife and so on. You're really, you know, by the way you speak to her, you know, it's like you show her love. So, you know, there's a little bit of teasing and so it's like the way to, you know, to spread your love. So it's really cool. You know, oh, it's like something really cute.
100%. You know, and she, again, she doesn't understand podcasting. She's like, I don't get it. But she's like, you're happy doing it. Go do it. Now, like, some of my friends' wives are like, wait, you're talking to women, too? And it's like, yeah, I am. What's the problem?
It's like, okay, you're talking to women, so?
Well, that's it.
It's like, women.
Imagine. They're performers, it's like, too, and they're super talented.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, you're talking to women, yes. And she's cute? Of course she's cute. But you're talking to women? Yes. But it's women. Of course they are. Wait, I have to ask her, are you a woman? This is stupid, you know? It's like a...
It is very ridiculous, but it is very... I find it very amusing. I'm just like... You know, 20-year-old me and 40, almost 40-year-old me are very different in that regard. You know,
you were a little bit shy?
No, I've never had you that were. Problem. Never had that problem. Just, you know, until I met my wife, I was not a good person. I just had fun. Oh. I just wanted to have fun. But that's okay. I was young. I was stupid. I met her and it's like, okay, now I can have female friends because I have my wife. And that's,
yeah,
that, but even that's it, like, done.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so many guys can have, you know, I know the topic, but, you know, so many guys can have female friends because I would like to have, you know, besides my best friend, that is Sam, I would like to have more, like, male friends because so many guys, like, when you are talking to them, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this girl wants something. So it's not like that.
Again, me when I'm 20. No, you know what, it's, to me, everybody's adventure and story is unique and cool, and I want to hear it. Like, to me, that's the best part of podcasting and making friends with everybody. Look, now I have a friend in Spain. I didn't have a friend in Spain before last week. Like, cool. Next time I go out to Germany, I'll have to swing by Spain. you know, I don't know if anybody's going to pay for me to go to Germany next time, but I did. That was the one really cool thing that came out. I made a friend in Germany when I was there for the 11 days. And he has actually been out and stayed at my house twice.
Wow. And that's really amazing,
like,
you know?
We stay in touch. He actually stays in touch more with my wife than with me. Just because I don't have Facebook. I refuse to get Facebook. It's the one social media I won't have. That, and I can't you'll see. I saw you tagged me in something on Instagram. I don't know how to use Instagram. I'm sorry. But I was told I needed to have one, so I got one, and that's it. And Greg runs our Facebook page, so I never have to go on Facebook.
You know, but you know, when with time you will, like, handle all the things, because social media at the end, like being a podcaster, you know, being a pro wrestler, or simple, like, a person with some kind of personality outside this, you know, in public, you have to, you know, interact with people somehow, and you know, you are controlling Twitter, so it's cool because you know you meet people, you talk to them, you know, DMs are like private, so it's the same like we have on Facebook. So it's except for this messenger that is like stupid, but you know, you have the DMs.
It's not the wrestling people that bother me on Facebook; it's my family.
Run away.
It's I don't want them to know everything I do every step of the way.
Yeah, but you know, there's something about Facebook that's really cool about to that people, to that, you know, to your family, that I just block them. Just like, I don't want you to read this blog. I don't want to see this blog. Oh, hi, blog.
Yeah, it's just easier not to have it. I had it for a long time. And then I just got, the one day I got fed up and I was like, I'm done with Facebook forever. And guess what? I've been done with Facebook forever since.
You know, that's really hilarious.
Mega, it's a couch, dude. It's not the bed. You can't move that. My dog tries to move the blankets on the couch with his paws and then tucks himself in. He is currently trying to dig himself into the couch, not understanding why he won't move.
Hi, baby boy.
Buddy boy, you gonna be okay over there? I don't know. I may need a new couch by the time you're done. But it's okay, because you're cute.
You know, when was, now you're saying that in Germany, there's one funny story about this academy I went. There was one of the coaches that looked like to be my friend, and so he used to text me, and you know, like one of the time I was going again, you know, it was my seventh or eighth time I went to Essen in Germany, and this guy asked for my number because of course we are, you know, talking about wrestling, talking about this huge thing, this wrestling, you know, like my coach, like my friend, and so, because, you know, knife me, think this guy is gonna be my friend.
And this is where the story takes a hard left.
It's like and you know, then when he was like a little bit too pushy and, you know, to send photos, I didn't want it, and I stopped replying. So, in this speaking out movement, I remember, like, holy shit, they are talking about this guy. And I remember, like, going to DMs to one of the girls, like, do you know this guy? Yeah, he had a girlfriend and he was texting me, dating me, and I was like, oh, he was doing the same to me. And I took it right to the academy, and a day or two later he was out of the academy because he was like breaking the rules of the academy, of course, and being an awful person, you know, besides being an awful wrestler. So bye bye this guy.
It's sad that people act that way. It really is. Like the whole speech, when we started, we had podcasted for 2 years. And then we stopped for a while I was coaching, because there just wasn't enough time. And when I finally had time again, one of the first people to interact with us was this guy, and he kept talking about our podcast. And he's a wrestler, so we're like, all right, let's start doing interviews. So we interview him, and his stories are fun and cool, and then all of a sudden, like, he just got creepy, like, just straight up weird, like, just stuff that he was saying, and I was just like, not really feeling this guy so much anymore, but I don't want to be an ass either, so I'm just keeping my distance. And then speaking out happens, and I wake up on like a Saturday morning to my co-host texting me, we need to distance ourselves tomorrow. This dude faked having cancer and messed with a whole bunch of girls. And we're just like, all right, you are off of our feed. You are done. You are dead to us.
And wow.
It was just like, there are certain things, like, I cheating's bad. That is awful. But it doesn't, it pales in comparison to what some of these other guys are doing, and that's what he was doing, and that bothered me so much. I'm like, you're taking advantage of people, you're hurting people. Nah, fuck you, dude. You're done with me. And if I see you,
yeah, in you're public, out.
You're not gonna have your front teeth.
man, that's really awful, you know, like acting that way only to get what, you know. It's like a compassion and sadness about other people, like, oh, you know, poor guy, we're gonna, you know, that's awful, that's really awful.
Yeah, it was eye-opening to me, and it made me, at first, I was like, all right, I'm gonna do these interviews and I'm not gonna make friends, which is stupid too. And I was like, just because I didn't want to be in that spot again. Like, I think I'm pretty good judge of character in real life. Mm. But I'm like, professional wrestling, your job is to be someone that you're not.
So yeah, but, you know, depending on what, you know, you can follow your gimmick, because, you know, that's how you create to be as a wrestler. But, you know, you can take your gimmick out of this, you know, the wrestling scene. For example, you know, I'm talking about myself, being a person, you know, meeting you, meeing these guys of DDT Archive, and, you know, me going to Japan, going to Germany, going to England, to working here in Spain. But, you know, I am talking as a person, no, like, I'm Faith, because if I am Faith, I will be totally different.
Well, that's the fun part. We've interviewed some people that they'll start in gimmick, and I will find ways to get them out of it. And it's like, it becomes a game for me, because, you know, and I think I said it in my first DM to you, we want to be different. We don't want to talk about everybody asks, where did you train? How did you get your start? What's your first memory? Everybody asks that.
Yeah, I saw a loop.
And, which is fine. That's cool. But I want to know the person behind the character so that I can be invested in the character. You know, whether that means, like, I have friends that are stone cold bad guys. And guess what? If I go to a show, I'm going to boo the shit out of them. And after the show, I'm going to give them a high five and tell them they did a great job. Like, of course. I understand it enough. Like, I'm not going to cheer for you if you're the bad guy. I'm going to boo the crap out of you, and then afterwards, we're good again. Like, and that's been the most fun for me. And I think I speak for Greg on that end, too. You know, like, we've talked to guys that have been on TV, that are on the WWE Network. We interviewed, do you know Simon Gotch? You know who that is?
Of course.
From the Vaudevillians. Yes. We interviewed, I met him at a show, and the promoter introduced him to me and was like, you need to be on this guy's podcast, which is still the coolest thing in the world to me. Like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then, so we interviewed him. And we talked for almost 2 hours, and I want to say only about 10 minutes of it was about wrestling. We talked about everything else, and it was the coolest conversation. And the 10 minutes of wrestling, he initiated. Because he was like, listen, a podcast where I don't have to talk wrestling, I'm all for it, let's go. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep my word.
Yeah, because you don't keep the tension about, you know, explaining yourself or being so technical, even though it's a wrestling podcast, and so, you know, you can be like a little bit tense of, you know, awkward about everything, a single word you say, and if you people doesn't understand your move, or, you know, the scene, or the timing, or the other, you know, your opponent, and so it's like, okay, I have to, you know, measure my words to people understand me. But if you are having this conversation, it's pretty cool, because we can talk a little bit of everything and anything, you know. It's really really good.
Well, that's why. So we don't call ourselves a wrestling podcast. We call ourselves the Wrestlers Podcast, because it's what the wrestlers want to talk about. Like, you know, we've talked about, like, the weirdest stuff. Like, I don't know what Yu-Gi-Oh is, but we talked about it one time. Like, no idea. Apparently, it's a card game. No clue. You know, like. I had somebody else get upset with me because I didn't know what Pokemons are, which I thought was hilarious. And then I was like, oh, wait, you're actually mad at me. But he wasn't. He was messing with me. Hi, Blanco. I know you're listening. I wish the audience could see. I could tell you what happened, but I'm not gonna. That's staying between Faith and I.
You know, but, you know, people can be really sensitive, because, you know, for the many different people I have met in wrestling, and you know, I'm a freaking geek, so it's really hard for me to, you know, to meet people like match with me, because I'm also really odd, because I'm really shy, and you know, I have this meaningful, like, this face, you know, like me looking at the emptiness of the universe, like, yes. And people is like, she's mad at me. And no, actually, I'm not mad at you, but I don't have any kind of conversation with you. So what is the point to talk to you? Because if I tell you about my passion, or about the comic books, or the movies, or the things I like, you're going to be like, nah, okay.
Well, I'm going to correct you, though. You're not a geek. You just are passionate about things that other people may not be. That doesn't make you a geek.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, at the end of the day, we all have different interests.
Of course.
In my coaching community, I am bizarre because I'll watch wrestling. Like, I had the one night the head coach decides to have study hall on a Sunday night is friggin' WrestleMania. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I brought my computer, I sat there, and I put on WrestleMania. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, if I got a babysit, I'm watching wrestling. And then all the players were like, can we watch two, coach? So I put it up on the screen. He was like, defeats the point of study hall. I'm like, shouldn't have made it on WrestleMania night.
That's really amazing.
It is, to me, like, some of the coolest stuff in my childhood is remembering watching wrestling. Like, whether it was with my dad occasionally, my uncle and I used to watch it, and if we didn't watch it together, we talked about it. So, like, wrestling to me has always been an outlet. You know, my brother used it as a legit outlet. I never wanted to go that route. I could talk my way into anything, but that's it. I don't want to destroy my body. I did that playing football. I don't need that part of it. And I respect the hell out of people that do it.
You know, it's like, I don't want to destroy my body, but I'm playing football. Well,
I like to pretend that I was the one hitting people and not being hit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it just, and I also stopped that at 18. I didn't play after 18. So it was okay. My body is just, no, we're not going to go there. My brother loved it, and that's how we had gotten into independent wrestling, was going to watch him. And I got to tell you, it sucks watching your little brother get beat up. Like, I would get so mad at first, just because, like, I was clued in, obviously, but you're still watching someone beat the crap out of your brother. Like,
and, do you want to jump?
Well, that's it. It's like, dude, like, and my brother's like, you have the personality. And I'm like, I definitely do, but I don't want to do it. Like, I don't
have the patience to
do it. Like, listen, anybody ever wants to have me do a podcast before a show as like a bonus to get more money for the ticket prices, go for it. Again, I can talk my ass off with anybody. I will figure out a way. However, I don't find myself to be larger than life, and therefore I wouldn't want to do that. But it's cool as hell getting to know everybody that does, and being like, I have friends all over the country, all over the world now, and it's so much fun. And I get to have a platform to talk about it. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, people actually listen to me bullshit. Who knew?
Who knew? You know, one of the funny things about, you know, you watching your brother getting beat up, and, you know, and like, you want to react like, you know, it's your brother, you know, you have to protect him. I don't have that, okay? But one of the wrestlers here in Madrid, like, he's in NXT, but, you know, before he went there, I met his parents, and her mother is really lovely. His father is really, 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 you know, I call them my madre y padre, you know, mother and father, you know, because I forget, you know, many times I used to forget their names, that it was easier for me to call her madre or him father. And it was really funny because every time there was a show, he was beat, or, you know, he was doing some stunt, you know, something aerial or something. You know, he got this comeback, and he was like getting really beaten, and the mother was like, and I was like, madre, it's okay. And she was like, pero le están pegando, he's getting beaten. It was really funny because I was like, it's really emotional that people get so involved in this and seeing that, you know, when you, even though, no, we are trained so freaking much to know everything, but, you know, people outside of the ring, you know, as fans or viewers, are like feeling it that it's real. Is what is this like? You know, it's like okay, we are doing a good job.
It was all fun and games till they split them open by accident.
Somebody hit him,
and his head just kind of split open, and he came home.
Nah, it's still really cool.
I was like, dude, and he's like, it's super glued. I'm like, awesome.
You know, in Japan, there was this match of Nanae-san against Arisa, where they were cutting the hair off. Okay,
yep.
It was a 30 minutes match where it was amazing, you know, it was freaking amazing. The promotion is via Sia the Lightning, and, you know, it was really spectacular. But at the end, Nanae-san lost against Arisa, and, you know, all the secondos and the other wrestlers, that this was the principal match, you know, it was the main event. So when this was over and she had to cut the hair off, you know, all the people came from the backstage to set everything, you know, and the moment Arisa-san was shaving the head of Nanae-san, people were in tears, you know, and even me, that knowing these people like for so little, and even as a fan, you know, I was super moved and, you know, emotional to see this whole brutal match, because it's brutal, you know. Maybe later I'm gonna try to find it for you, but, you know, you're gonna see it and you're gonna feel in your own skin like this whole thing, because it was really amazing and really emotional. But, you know, it's this thing of that people, you know, progressor work this hard to make people believe it, you know, like making your all feeling your own emotion to live it, you know, it's other thing. It's from another part of the world, you know, it's amazing.
It definitely is. So I think we're gonna wrap this up, but we're gonna do this again soon.
Okay.
As long as you're okay with that.
Yeah, of course. You know, I really like this little bit podcast, and, you know, talking to people and so. So whenever it's up to you, you know, right now I'm for free. And in September, guys, please remember I want the Tony Hawk video game.
I will make sure. I'm gonna tweet that out right after this. Why don't you share your social media with everybody? And if you send her a creepy DM, RJ, I'm gonna handle you.
No, please do. I want to have these creepy DMs, because I really happen to have fun. You know, I have to do a screenshot, and probably I'm gonna show it to people. No, please don't do it. Of course I'm gonna do it. No, please. And I have, from the last week, 10 people.
Jesus. Who does? Never mind. I know who does. I do. And it's, wow. That's so wrong.
It's wrong. It's really wrong. But at the end, you know, you have these guys, you know, by the balls really tight. And they are like, please don't do it. Please don't. I don't want my friends or my wife to know. Okay,
then
why'd
you
send stop
it?
Being.
If you send it, you deserve it. Oh, that's so You know, that, that's one thing when I was growing up, I never had to worry about.
You don't, but we did.
I mean, I wonder how many male performers get stuff like that.
Lately, they are getting more, for sure. You know, the last week I was talking to a friend from the USA. He lives in Ohio. And he was like, you know, I used to be jealous of you girls getting creepy messages of how much for your socks. What? How much for the used socks you use in this match? And he was like, I don't know, $25? Ah, sold.
So weird. People are weird. Oh, my God. You see, those are geeks. You're not a geek. Somebody that buys someone's used socks is wow.
No, that's a perversion, you know, that's a disgusting thing, but, you know, it's not, that's not what I call a geek, but that's a pervert.
Yes, I was trying to be nice. I was minding my P's and Q's here, not saying anything bad. But plug your social media for everybody.
You know, you can find me in Twitter, Instagram, and many others, but my name, you only have to write Faith Hayden, and you will find me practically everywhere, because that's my show name. So, yeah, guys, please do it. And thank you so much for listening to me, listening to Chris. And please, please, please give me the chance again to give more information about everything and anything.
Well, we couldn't be more excited to have you. We're definitely doing a round two at some point soon, even if it's not recorded, because you are super fun to talk to, and I very much appreciate this conversation. So thank you.
Thanks to you, Chris. Seriously.
And all right. So you can follow us at DDT Archives on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. And we're going to keep bringing you the best interviews from around the globe. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you soon.